scripture reading this morning. We'll actually have two. First one will come from Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Be reading from the New King James Version. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Next scripture reading will be coming from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, which states, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter."
What a blessing it is to be here as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It's been a great morning thus far. Hope, pray, and trust that the things that are said on this morning will be that which will educate and encourage. This month, we are going to be talking about Christians only. Christians only. We're Christians only. And you stop and you consider that, especially in the world that we live in, it's very strange that people are coming up with strange doctrines and being led away by strange doctrines. And it's unfortunate that we're seeing that, and we're seeing more and more of that. Even amongst the members of the Lord's church, we're finding brethren holding fast or gravitating to strange doctrines, and it should not be the case. As a matter of fact, when we stop and we consider the Word of God will teach us exactly what we need to know in order to be right with God. And so I want to start off this month with this particular lesson. And, of course, we have our gospel meeting beginning on next week. And Brother Mike Hickson will come in his own way and preach those things that are apropos for us. But this morning, I want us to talk about Christians only. We're Christians only. I appreciate the reading that was in our hearing, because when we stop and we consider Acts 11 and verse 26, 1 Peter 4 verse 16, and Acts 26, 28, we understand that the Bible does give us a designation, does give us a name, and we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. I did put the notes up there in the QR code. I appreciate Brother Ryan as he helps me to do things like that. He makes things easy, so we're not making copies on paper and all of that. And so when you stop and we consider names, they're very important. Hopefully we love our name. Hopefully we like our name. Hopefully our name means something. Hopefully our name has some connotation to it, some idea to it that we can say, you know what, I stand behind my name. At one time when you shook a man's hand, that was his word. His name was behind the handshake. And so when we stop and we consider throughout the scriptures, men and women were called by names and great names, and men like Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and the list can go on and on, David. We stop and we consider even this today, the name Christian. It's a powerful name. As a matter of fact, when we consider this particular name, it's more than just a name. It has more connotations than just the name. I've been studying the scriptures for over 20 years, and one thing I love about the Word of God is living, it's active, it's powerful, and you're always learning from it. Learn some things about the idea of Acts 11 and verse 26 and being called Christians. They were called Christians. Stop and we consider that. When we think about the Old Testament, the Israelites, that was the nation's name, if you will. They were called Israelites. And that was a very important name because they were the identity of God. God's people were known as Israelites. If you look at your notes, put something in your notes, and I believe that will help us to consider some things in Genesis chapter 32, verse number 37. Or 27 to 28. Remember when Jacob was wrestling with the angel of God. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 32 and verse number 27 and 28. So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Yisrael, Israel. For you have, notice, struggled with God. And with men have prevailed." The reason why I put in the Hosea 12, verse number 3 and 4 text, because some people are confused, believing that, well, Jacob literally struggled with God. He wrestled with God. Hosea 12, verse number 3 and 4 tells us that he wrestled with an angel of God. And so this is why we have to study the scriptures. But that's not our point. The point is that his name was changed from supplanter to Israel. God prevails. Brethren, names do have meaning. We know that names have meaning because when we stop and we consider God's people being called Israelites, that was a noble name. It was an honorable name, Israelite. Psalm 73 and verse number 1, God was truly good to Israel. That was the name. Does names mean something? When we think of the name Christian, if you notice in your notes, I put it in red. It's not only a name, but it's a title. That's interesting. Have you ever considered that? That the idea of Christian is not only a name, but a title? I have not. I learned something this week. Love learning from God. He's a great teacher. We just stop and learn from him. Perhaps when we consider this particular idea of Christian and the noble name of Christian is, it's not just a name, it's a title, it's a description, almost like a job description. It's like being a shift leader. That's your title. That's the name of the title. Even though you have a name, but you fulfill that title, Christian. We consider the idea of Pharaoh in Genesis 12, 15, Exodus 1, 8. We understand that Pharaoh was a common title, name of kings of Egypt. And we look at that. That was his role, his responsibility as a leader of Egypt. But that was just the title, Pharaoh. That was not their personal name. Brethren, when we consider the name Christian, it's not to be altered by hyphenations, additions with man-made designations and identifiers. This is a time for us to keep in mind that the world is flooded with different ideas of what a Christian is. Too many hyphenated Christians. What do we mean by hyphenated Christians? When we put a dash after Christian or before Christian. Unfortunately, we have hyphenated Christians, a Baptist Christian, Catholic Christian, Methodist Christian. Some say, well, why would you say that? Because that's hyphenated. In Acts 11 and verse 26, they were called Christians. Remember what Agrippa said, almost thou persuaded me to become a Christian. If any man to suffer as a Christian, no hyphenation. Hyphenations do not express unity, but rather division. Friends, I want us to consider just a few things. Go to Acts 11 and verse number 25 and 26. As we study together, I believe that you will benefit from this study just as I did. The name Christian is a God-given name. I remember a few years back, I was studying with an individual and they said that the word or the term, the name Christian was given by hostile territory, hostile individuals against Christians in the first century. That's false. That's foolish. When we stop and we consider the word of God, the word Christian is divinely commanded, is divinely intimate. It assumes to oneself. We think about the idea of Christian. We know that it is a name, a title, and it was prophesied even in the Old Covenant. In Isaiah 62, in verse number 2, when the Gentiles would see the righteousness of the Jews, they would be called by a new name some 700 years before Christ. It's prophesied that the people of God, the Gentiles, will be called by this new name along with the Jews. I find it very interesting, and according to divine mandate, that in Acts chapter 2, we find individuals obeying the gospel, and they're called the way in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 3, we see individuals, 5,000, obeying the gospel. In Acts chapter 6 and 7, we see individuals obeying the gospel. Acts 8 and Samaria obeying the gospel. Paul, Saul, obeying the gospel. But they were not called Christians until the Gentiles, Tobias, obeyed the gospel. That's when they were called Christians. Before that, they were called the Way. Remember on one occasion when Saul was persecuting the church and Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He didn't call them Christians at that time because at that particular time, the Gentiles had not yet seen the righteousness of the Jews. It's important that the consistency of the scriptures are being not only respected, but seen. And so in Acts chapter 10 and 11, we see the Gentiles actually seeing the righteousness of the Jews. Look at Acts 10, verses 44 through verse 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that's the Gentiles, the Jews who believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So you have the Gentiles, circumcision, now you have the Jews, and they're seeing this. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" They saw the righteousness of the Jews. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. Now, if you notice here, it would be after this situation, this circumstance, in Acts chapter 11, verse number 25 and 26, that the people of God would be now called Christian. They were called Christians first in Antioch. The Gentiles here would be called the Lord's people by the Lord's name, according to the book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse number 12. Turn to Acts chapter 15 and look at verse 16 and 17, which is a fulfillment of Amos 9, verse number 12. Acts chapter 15, verse number 16 and 17. If you notice, let's start verse number 15. And with this, the words of the prophets agree just as it is written. After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruin and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. They were going to be called by his name. I love how God did not leave out the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews. We have some, have a nation now among the African Americans for some reason getting caught up in what is known as the Hebrew Israelites. I don't know if y'all heard about that, the Hebrew Israelites. And so they believe that they came from the tribe of Ishmael. And so that the seed of Ishmael is the seed that should be followed. But if you read the scriptures closely, it's not the seed of Ishmael that should be followed. It's the seed of Abraham, seed of Abraham. So one should not be a Hebrew Israelite. One should identify with Abraham, with Christ. We're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. The Gentiles were going to be called by a new name. The name Christian was not accidental. It was not given by hostile forces, as some may say. The name Christian literally means a follower of Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You're a follower of Christ. It's a title of honor. The more I was considering this, the more I was wowed by God. A title of honor? This is something that we all must hold up very high. If we hold up the title of Christian, brethren, I truly believe we'll take the responsibility, the job description very, very seriously. It's an occupation that all of us ought to be considering. The word Christian is also used in other passages as we quoted earlier. Notice again, Acts 26, 28, Agrippa, as Paul is talking to him and he says, "Almost thou persuaded me to become a Christian, a follower of Christ, to take on the title of a follower of Christ, one that keeps the commandments of Christ," not Buddha, not Confucius, not all of these idols that were in the land or even in our land today. No, we're followers of Jesus Christ, him only. We follow him, which demonstrates, friends, that we are not to be hyphenated. We are Christians and Christians alone, only Christians. And so this also demonstrates that we must be taught by the Word of God. We must be taught by God himself, John 6, 44 and 45. So many are being taught denominational doctrine, and then they call themselves Christians. Brethren, that's deception, because when we stop and we consider the doctrine of Jesus Christ, it only makes Christians. The seed is going to produce after its own kind. It's only going to make Christians. Friends, we're Christians only, and the only Christians. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. As I was considering this, I was thinking about being Christians and how we're children of God. And in verse number 26 and 27, for you're all the children of God, the sons of God, the New King James renders. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized, notice, into Christ, have put on Christ. We're children of God. We're sons of God. If one wanted to identify with Abraham, the one in whom God made the promise to, the one in whom God was working through, the one in whom God was working through as it relates to the seed being Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 16. If we want to identify with Abraham and be children of God, friends, one has to obey the gospel. One has to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to accept his truth, accept his word, his commands, in order to be a child of God, in order to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, a Christian. Unfortunately, many are rejecting the title of Christian. They're just rejecting it, saying that baptism is not essential for salvation. Even have some, even in our circle now, that are rejecting baptism to be necessary for salvation. That's false. That's wrong. Since Jesus commanded baptism and Jesus received his word, his law, his commands from his Father, that demonstrates to us that God commanded baptism. Because Jesus would say in John 12, 48, he that rejected me and received not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I've spoken shall judge him in the last day. I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say. So it was the Father that commanded baptism. Jesus is just repeating what the Father said. And so we have to listen to Jesus. So we want to be Christ's followers. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. If anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed as a Christian. Friends, are we Christians? Look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, Paul would say this, and this ought to give us great encouragement, because a Christian, a follower of Christ, one who is following Christ closely, take notice, 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, yea, and all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Persecution comes with the territory. Now watch this. Persecution comes with the job title, Brother Estes. It comes with it. It's as if we're saying to God, okay, I understand that there's going to be some trouble that may come my way, that just might come my way in following Christ. When I stand up for righteousness, when I stand up for the life, let's just use abortion, which we already know, we don't use that term around here. It's the killing of innocent blood. But we stand up for that because God stands up for that, because God is life and God wants people to live, children to live, babies to live in the womb and outside of the womb. We stand up for that. We may be persecuted because of that. Suffering may come because of that. It comes with the territory. It comes with the job title. We have to ask ourselves, if I put my hand to the plow, am I willing to keep it on even in the midst of persecution? I believe we are. And because of that, we depart from iniquity. Because of that, we're not ashamed. Look at James 2, verse 7. Probably my favorite passage as it relates to this particular study. Why? Because we understand that there will be some troubles every now and then as the people of God. But there are always going to be those that's going to come down on the people of God. Always. always. You go back, read the context, you'll be glad that you did. But notice verse number 7. He says, do they not blaspheme? The idea of blaspheme literally means to speak against. We have people even in our nation speaking against Christianity, Brother Lewis. When we stop and we think about this, notice that noble name by the which you are called, that good name, that wholesome name, that name that is approved, admirable, useful. We stop and we think about the name Christian. It is a very powerful name. It's a name that has great characteristics to it, that's identified with Jesus Christ himself. And it's a name that God has given to those who follow his son, Christian. It's not a name that ought to be walked upon. It's not a name that ought to be thrown out flippantly, even by us. My name is Michael Bonner. I'm a Christian. That's the name that I wear as relates to a nation of people who all have obeyed the gospel. But there's a job description that goes with it. There's a job description that goes with that title. It's not just a name. Why? Because with that comes responsibility and work. Our dear brother, he was up here performing the Lord's Supper with us, and he talked about the three works: edification, evangelism, and benevolence. That's the work that we're involved with. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Watch this. That the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly complete, or furnished unto every good work. God has given us all a work. Now, we all have different abilities. We all have different responsibilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and following. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 9. All of us have different responsibilities. The hand and the eye and the nose and the mouth and the ears all have different responsibilities. But brethren, make no mistake about it, all of us ought to be working. All of us ought to take the title of Christian very seriously. We're Christians only. We should not be taking on the denominational mentality. And Brother Dennis, I appreciate you saying what you said as relates to John 3 and verse number 16. Let's not be like the world and just look at that verse. Let's look at the whole context. And let's realize that we are supposed to be a whole context type people. Amen. Why is that? Because we're Christians. Point two. Is there anything in a name? In the 90s and 2000s, old preachers was preaching this all the time. Maybe it kind of wore some of the Christians out. I don't know. But they were right. There is something in a name. Remember some old illustrations that they used to give. When I got paid and my name was on the check, and a matter of fact, you did the work and you put my name on the check, how would you like that? I wouldn't like it. Why? Because I did the work. The check ought to go to me. Well, because names mean something. How would you like it if when you got married, your wife took on another man's last name? Evelyn wouldn't like that. Why? Because names mean something. Is there anything in a name? Yes, it is. Just like there's words mean something. Names mean something. And so Jesus was given a name. If you look at your notes that I gave you, Matthew 1:21. He was given Emmanuel, he was given Jesus rather. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. He was given Emmanuel. Why? Because God was going to be with us. He was given a name that is above every name. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 9. But look at Acts 4:12. The more I thought about this, Brother Payton, the more I was thinking, everybody must obey the name of Jesus down here. There's another name above heaven. God didn't give us that name to obey right now. He gave us the name of Jesus. That's the name every man is to follow. What's above heaven comes later. God has given us a name to obey below heaven right now. Under the sun, as the ecclesiastical writer would say, Solomon. He says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friends, I don't know what people are thinking, but how do you obey a gospel that doesn't identify with Jesus? I don't know. Brother Tobias, it can't happen. The gospel that we obeyed is the gospel identified with the name Jesus Christ. There is something in a name. And because there is something in a name, everything that is under the canopy of the skies, the heavens, must go through the authority of Jesus Christ. There's something in a name. And so Jesus would be known as the Anointed One. He would be known as the Christ. He would be known as the Chosen One. And I find it very interesting that we are chosen by the gospel. Chosen by the gospel. Friends, we're Christians only, the only Christians. Why is that? Because that's the name that God has given us. Christian. Follower of Christ. Nothing more, nothing else, nothing less. And as followers of Christ, we identify with the one, watch this, whom God chose. The Father chose Jesus. He chose the Word to become flesh. And the very fact that he chose him, and that man lived a life that was exemplary. He lived a life that was holy. He lived a life that was right. No wonder everybody must follow that man, Jesus. Why is that? Because we're Christians. We keep his word. We live by his law. We do what he has said. And this is why when we go to God, watch this point. When we go to God in prayer, it's through Jesus' name. I was talking to a brother, and he was saying one time, had a guy, he was in the congregation, and he was talking to the Father. And then he said, in your name, he said, brother, think about what you just said. It's not in the Father's name. That's the same thing as praying to Jesus. And in Jesus' name, that's not the proper order. We pray to the Father, guess what? Through Jesus' name. Why? Because he's the chosen one. He's the name that we go through. He's not the name that we go to. Friends, keep that in mind. Because even amongst us, sometimes we have this idea, well, I can pray to Jesus. No, we pray through Jesus. We worship the Father through Jesus. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5. That's biblical. And so God is a God of order. We're Christians. That's denominational thinking. We don't want to think like that. We want to make sure that when we ask God for anything, as John 14, 13, and 14 demonstrates, we ask the Father in Jesus' name. It's through Jesus' name that we have faith in God. It's through Jesus' name that we are faithful to God. Through Jesus, that name, that name. Old people used to say all the time, it's something about that name. Something about that name. If Jesus' name doesn't make you smile, if it doesn't bring joy to your heart, if it doesn't cause you to look at your own life and challenge yourself and see the weaknesses that need to be corrected, if you don't see that, friends, what are you looking at? What are you listening to? The name of Jesus is a powerful name. It's the most powerful name under heaven right now. Why? Because God said so. He's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's a powerful name. Oh, Jesus of Nazareth is a man that all of us can trust. Even Paul said in Acts 21 and verse 13 that he was willing to die for the name of Jesus. A pause for you to think about that. Because you have to ask yourself, am I willing to die for the name of Jesus? Oh, I'm not talking about physical death only. Sister Evelyn, I'm talking about dying to self. I'm talking about dying to self. And so Jesus would say in Luke 9:23, brethren, we're Christians only. We just want to be Christians, just followers of Jesus Christ. If any man come after me, who's me? Jesus. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow who? Follow Jesus. No wonder He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. No wonder we're supposed to look to him. No wonder we're supposed to bow down to him. No wonder we're supposed to listen to him. If Jesus didn't say it, I want to leave it alone. If the apostles didn't get it from Jesus, I want to leave it alone. If the preacher is not preaching Christ and him crucified, I want to leave him alone. Why is that? Because it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And the Father made it about him. Yet when Jesus was on earth, he made it about the Father. And then when we come to worship, we worship the Father through Jesus. It's amazing how they work together. Do you know what God is trying to get us to do down here on earth? I'm talking about everybody. God wants all men to work together. If all men work together, murder would go away. If all men work together, adultery would go away. If all men work together, backbiting would go away. If all men work together, all of the sin would go away. If they would just work together for the cause of God. But because that's not the case, and it will never be the case, we understand that those of us in the church must lead the way. What way? The way of being Christians only. We're doing our best to follow the Lord. Point three. Why Christians only? Because we wear only the name given to us by God. Brethren, I don't know any other name I would rather wear than Christian. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9 and following, when Paul had to correct those brethren there when they were saying, I was baptized, and I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. And Paul said, I thank God I baptized none of you. Here they were identifying with these apostles, these preachers. And Paul says, no, you've lost your focus. You've lost your focus. What you need to be focusing on is Christ. The name we have is Christian. This name here is directly associated with Christ's church. Romans 16:16, and salute one another with a holy kiss. Watch this. The churches of Christ salute you. I don't know how clearer it can get, Brother Estes. It can't get no clearer than that. And we have preachers in the brotherhood now that use all of this soliloquy. They use all of these words. They're just trying to not say this. We need to take that off of the billboard. Take that off of the marquee. Watch it. We don't want to offend nobody. We want to remove the barriers. We want people to see Christ. Well, then you got to have all of it. You can't have Evelyn without Mike. You just can't. I said it before and I'll say it again. Brethren of old say you can't have the Christ without his church. You can't have the church without the Christ. They go hand in hand. One thing that Jesus is not a womanizer. He doesn't have churches on the side. He has his bride, the one that he purchased with his blood, the one that he loves. The one that he's going to come back for and the one he's going to deliver up to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:23-24. Brethren, what a powerful name that's associated with Christ. Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church. You can't have Christ without the church. You can't have the church without the Christ. The body is attached to the head. The Bible demonstrates why we're Christians. And we're Christians because we represent Jesus, not only with our actions, but with our attitudes. Let me say that one more time. Not only with our actions, but with our attitudes. And so we have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. We take on the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:4-5. The Bible is right. Why are we Christians? Because we want to exhibit Jesus Christ and the love of Christ in our lives toward all of our brethren. And the world may know that we are his disciples by the love we have one for another. You know, we could preach this 365 days a year and still need to preach it again because we struggle with our love for one another. I truly believe that some people really can't stand genuine love from God. It's too pure. It's too holy. It comes across as if someone wants something from you. And God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Do we understand that the majority of the world will never, ever understand the love of God? Again, thank you for John 3, verses 14 through verse number 17. Thank you for those passages. Why? Because it demonstrates that he was willing to be lifted up for us to be lifted up to go home with him one day. Great. Genuine love. Genuine love. Brethren, we have to train ourselves to accept the genuine love of God, and then we have to train ourselves to genuinely love one another, and then when the world sees that we genuinely love one another, they'll say, those are Christ disciples. They're Christ disciples. And so, why are we Christians? Because Christ owns us. It's not in your notes. Brethren, we were purchased by the blood of Christ. Turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. I'm almost done. But I got to give you this point. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. Estes, read 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Listen to this verse, these verses. What does that say?
But as he who called you is holy, you also.
If you notice, God is calling us to holiness. God is calling us to himself because he is holy. Now read verse number 18 and 19. Watch this.
Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Notice what we were purchased by, friends, by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish, without spot. You see how important we are as Christians? You see how important we are, how valuable we are? I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'll keep repeating myself because it is right. The purchased possession and the purchased price are of equal value. That's how important we are. Friends, let's not muddy the waters. Let's not trample on the name Christian. Let's lift it up high as a title, as a job occupation, because we are occupying the person of Jesus Christ, and he has given us a work, a job to go out and do, and thus be Christ followers in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Friend, all of us can do that. We're Christians only. Last point, the joy of being a Christian or knowing that we are servants of the Most High God and we're not serving in vain. I love knowing that the labor that I'm doing for the Lord is not in vain. Brethren, you ought to love that the labor that you're doing is not in vain. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. God is not unfaithful to forget your works of right, of righteousness, of good. He knows what you're doing. You don't have to tell everybody. Just keep working hard. As a Christian, you just keep working hard. Why? You're a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. You do what you're supposed to do. You don't have to get the accolades. You don't have to get all of the honor. You don't have to get the glory. As a matter of fact, fix your mind and learn to say to God be the glory. Why? Because you're taking the word of God. You're taking what he has said. You're putting it into practice. It's working out the way that God wants it to do. And next thing you know, you say to God be the glory. It's not in vain. Doing right is not in vain. As Christians, we need to keep that in our minds, because sometimes I know for a fact we grow weary in well-doing. Why? Because even Paul said that about the church of Galatia. And sometimes we grow weary, but hang in there, keep doing what God would have you to do. And so another joy of being a Christian is having the opportunity to spread the gospel. What an opportunity we have to go out and influence the world with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the oneness of the church, the oneness of the faith. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. What an honor. What an honor to talk about a man that was selfless. Talk about a man that was humble, that lowered himself from the word to the flesh, that lowered himself to submit and serve his own creation, John 13, to lower himself, to be beaten. Isaiah 52, verse number 10 through 14. Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, to lower himself, to be humiliated upon the cross, to lower himself, to be ridiculed by people on the cross, to lower himself, to die, to lower himself, to be buried, but God raised him up. Brethren, the key to Christianity is humility. And if you can't get that down, you're going to struggle being a Christian, a Christian, a follower of Christ. Because the one who was the Word became flesh, lowered himself, and God is teaching us to lower ourselves. I told a young man last night, we were studying the Word of God together, and I said, the more you study God's Word, the lower you get. But if you're arrogant, the more you study, the more arrogant you become, because knowledge puffs up. That's just the truth. So the secret to Christianity is humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you. You want to know why people don't obey the gospel? Pride. You want to know why Christians who obey the gospel leave the Lord? Pride. You want to know why Satan did what he did? Pride. And what is God teaching us? Stay away from the pride. Joy of being a Christian is coming to the realization that we actually have family in Christ. That I'm not doing this alone, Brother Ryan. Love men like him. Like him. Why? Humble. Love the Lord, striving to do what is right. Brethren, you'll never go wrong being part of a family that is striving to do right. You'll never go wrong. In all of my years, again, as a minister of God's word, as a servant of the Church of Christ, I have yet to come across a group of people like this. I'm so humbled. You ought to be too. Brethren, we're Christians only, not hyphenated Christians, nothing else, just Christian. And so when people get to talking and saying, well, I'm this, I'm that, just ask them one question. Where do you have the authority to speak that way? Because Luke said they were called Christians first in Antioch. Agrippa said, almost thou persuaded me to become a Christian. And Peter would say, if any man suffer as a Christian. But a Jim, that's all we can be is a Christian. Nothing else. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're a follower of Christ? God ought to put a smile on your face. You know, as the people of God, we ought to be thankful we're on our way home to God. As Christians, let's have a word of prayer and offer the invitation. Great God and Father, you're good to us, and for this we're thankful. And we love you because of who you are. We love your gospel. We love your son. We love the church. So thankful for this group of people here who love you and who are striving to do that which is right. Pray to Father that we'll always strive to be a people who understand order, who understand authority, who understand the oneness of the faith, who understand who you are to the best of our ability. We're thankful for your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering with us. Pray to Father we'll never take that for granted. Pray to Father that we will wear the title, the name Christian, and work out our salvation, Father, with fear and trembling, and not trample that great name, to not align ourselves who blaspheme that noble name. We pray to Father that we'll be a people who understand that we're just Christians. And when it's all said and done, Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Forgive us when we fail thee. Help us to always strive to be a people who are going out into the world demonstrating what a Christian is. Help us to never, ever put ourselves in a position where people ask us a question. The question, I thought you was a Christian. Help us to always be mindful of what we're doing and what we're saying and who we are. Father, when we make those mistakes and people ask that question, help us to humble ourselves and say, I'm sorry, and help us to do right from that particular point forward. We're thankful, Father, that you're faithful and just to forgive. Again, Father, we love you. We're thankful for your Son, the chosen one, the one that was anointed to come. We're thankful for him. It is in Christ's name we do humbly pray. Amen. Not a child of God, we want you to be a Christian. Not a hyphenated Christian, just a Christian. Just a Christian. The anointed one said, the Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. The chosen one said that. The Christ said that. The one in whom our name has that as a prefix, it's the base, the foundation of who we are. He said that. Maybe you're listening to someone that's saying that's not necessary. If you want to be a Christian, obey what he says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. If you live faithful, God will do something amazing in your life after your obedience to the gospel. He'll save you. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of sins. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been living up to that noble name. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes our mouth gets in the way. Sometimes our attitude is bad. Sometimes those things happen. That's fine. Okay. Just make it right. Tell people all the time, the thing that you don't want to do when you sin against man and sin against God is leave it in that state. Don't leave it there. Just make it right. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he'll exalt you. As we stand and as we sing, our Savior's invitation.